Good morning, good morning. I'm going to go ahead and get started here this morning.
Yeah, it is an afterlife.
Hope everybody's had a good weekend. And we had a good day yesterday, those of you that could make it to the birthday party. I thank Lydia for letting us all come hang out with her. We had a fun time. Thanks for having us. All right. I'm going to go ahead and open this up with prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be in church this morning. Lord, I pray that you would just speak to each one of us individually this morning. Lord, if there be burdens, help us to lay them down at your feet. If there be sin, help us to make it right.
Yes,
sir. If we're in the valley, Lord, help us to stay faithful to you.
Yes.
If we're on the mountaintop, help us to praise you. Lord, I pray you be with this service today, Lord. That you would build a hedge of protection around this meeting place. That it wouldn't be hindered, Lord. Lord, if you would, Lord, we'd ask that you would let your Holy Spirit do a work here this morning. Everybody here has their own things going on. But we each need to hear from the Holy Spirit this morning.
Please.
Lord, I pray you'd be with our pastor. Lord, I pray that you'd fill him with your Spirit. Give him your power, Lord. Give him the clarity of his thoughts.
Yes.
Lord, I pray that you would speak through him. Lord, I pray that your word would touch our hearts. Lord, help us to give our lives to you. Lord, if there be anybody here today that doesn't know you as their Savior, Lord, I pray that you would deal with them personally, Lord, that the Spirit would move, that they'd realize their need for a Savior, and that they would not leave here today without trusting you. Lord, we're going to thank you for what you'll do here today, and we'll give you all the praise. And in Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right. If you would, I'd ask you to stand. Turn to page 160. We're going to sing some songs on the blood here this morning. 160, are you washed in the blood? Chris kind of talking about this, talking about the blood and those that have put, believe in the death, saving them, Lord. And we were just talking about, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. And I'm so thankful for that blood that has washed me clean.
Yes.
Because I know my blood couldn't do it. So thankful for what Christ did on that cross. He had to die. He had to rise again. But that shed blood covers me. And as sinner, sinful as I am, when the Lord looks at me, when God looks at me, when the old accuser accuses me, He looks down and says, I see my son. The blood covers me, and I'm so thankful for that. If you would, turn with me to page over 164. We're going to sing another song about that precious blood. 164, nothing but the blood.
Please, if you'd like to give him something, give it to Miss Donna, and she'll get it over to him. So he's just going through some things. So if the Lord lays upon your heart to help him out financially, please see Miss Donna, and she'll be able to get that money over there to him. We have revival services coming up, Lord willing, October 29th, which is a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. That weekend there, Friday it'll start at 7, Saturday be at 6, and then Sunday will be regular times. Again, Wednesday the 20th, that Wednesday, if it's not raining and they have a parade here, We're just going to stand out front and just have some scripture signs up and a table and maybe hand some tracts out. This year I'm just trying to get a feel for how things go with it. So we're going to try to do that. So if you're interested in helping out with that, we'll probably get here. I'll probably get here around 5:30 before they really start shutting the roads down. So if you're interested in that, helping out, we'll be here Wednesday the 20th. And that's, again, if it doesn't rain. If it rains, then they're going to have a rain delay. And that'll be next week, the week following, that following Wednesday. Something else I was going to bring up. Lord willing, we'll do public outreach again this Thursday at 6. I know the times are getting a little darker, but I had an opportunity last week or this past week to talk to some teenagers, specifically a young girl. I don't know her name, but if you think about it, please pray for her. I think she was involved in witchcraft and things like that. And just had an opportunity to talk to her and three other kids. So just keep them in prayer that God would just deal with their hearts and they'd see where they stand with Him concerning their souls. Brother Chris has brought some taco fixings in this morning. So after the service, if you're interested in staying after for a little bit of lunch, he's provided that. And thank him for that. I won't be able to stay because there's something, especially now, that I really got to go take care of after the service. So I won't be able to stay for that. But if you're interested in staying for lunch afterwards, Brother Chris has been so kind to bring some taco fixing in. And that's downstairs. And I think that's all I have.
Well, Chris has something.
Yeah, and Ralph brought drinks, graciously.
Thank you, Ralph.
You know, I wanted to say quickly, just remember to pray for your pastor.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
I can't imagine the burden he has. I can barely bear my own. And he has to bear the burdens of all of us. Try to be there for all of us. I mean, obviously we should all be there for each other and be praying for each other, but he's going to give an account for how he leads this church. I'm thankful for him and his wife, his family.
Yes.
Their servant's heart.
Amen.
I'm thankful for a pastor that gets burdened and then he shows it. He doesn't try to be a guy that tries to hide it and act like he's not burdened. He's a perfect man. He just loves the Lord and he cares about right and wrong, serving the Lord. He cares about this church. He cares about this church doing right in the sight of the Lord. He cares about each one of us. I know he does. He wants to see us, every one of us, get to heaven and hear, "Well done." I'm thankful for that. I just want to remind us all to pray for him. Pray for his wife. Pray for his daughter.
Yes.
Don't forget, you know, her brothers are still down south. But she's here, and she's a blessing to us. Mm-hmm. Keep her in prayer.
Amen.
I'm also thankful for a pastor that's willing to preach the hard stuff.
Yes, sir.
There's times where a pastor will preach, and, you know, people can think, "Oh, you're picking on the women. Next week we'll pick on the men." But, you know, he hasn't even gotten to the husbands yet. And I know how burdened I already am. I'm thankful that he's willing to preach it. You know, we've only been married since April. And him talking about marriage, I know I lack as a husband. I don't know if I'm doing it. I've only been a husband for a few months. It's a huge burden on me. So I'm thankful that he's willing to preach that stuff that may feel awkward and may make people feel that he's picking on anybody. He's not picking on us. He's just teaching us the word. And I need it. I know that. I don't know what I'm doing as a husband. I'm thankful that I have a wife that's patient with me and loves me. No matter how bad I am at it, she keeps telling me I'm good at it. She keeps lying to me. Pray for her. Pray for her. But seriously, I just wanted to say, remember to pray for our pastor. He needs the prayer. He needs our support. And I know I'm just thankful for him. Just want to make sure we're keeping in mind the burden that he carries for this church. I was going to sing page 169, but as I was sitting there, I just felt, it's a song we've sang often, but I just feel like the Lord wanted me to change it up to page 175. If you would, stand with me, turn to page 175, "There Is a Fountain."
some reason, I wrote home with me. No.
This song. It's the one I started playing this morning. I don't even know if I'm going to be able to sing it. But I think we need this song this morning. I want you to sing the chorus with me. I think you know it. You don't need to turn to it. If you want to, it's 458 in your songbook. It's a Fanny Crosby song, Draw Me Nearer.
Blessed Lord,
Amen. So I mentioned during the announcements that I was going to try to talk to the men. I'm not going to do that this morning, so because I'm going to have to leave. I'm going to have to leave right after the service, so I'm not being rude or nothing, but I got to go immediately after the service and take care of something, and I'll explain later on with what's going on. But you need to be praying. You know, some of the worst spirits you got to deal with, actually, I will say the worst spirits you got to deal with are religious spirits. All right, I know I'm not on yet, Brother Melanie, cut me off for a second. All right. Going through the book of Romans, but the Lord, this whole week, wouldn't let me continue on in the book of Romans this morning. Take your Bible, look at Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. Acts 20, 28. Acts chapter 20, verse number 28. Acts chapter 20, verse 28. Bible says this. It says, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves, and to all the flock over to which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time this morning. Lord, I pray you clear my mind, dear God. I pray you clear it. And Lord, I pray you just give wisdom, direction, and guidance this morning. Lord, what needs to be said, what doesn't need to be said. Lord, I pray I'd say it in the right spirit. Lord, I pray the flesh be crucified, dear God. And Lord, that all things be done to bring you glory and honor. And Lord, that you would be lifted up and magnified. And Lord, it would help us to be aware. Lord, to have discernment. And dear God, to know, Lord, what's good and what's evil. And Lord, give us that discernment we ask this morning. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. One thing I've realized in the last couple of years, well, for a while now, is a church as a whole, and again, I'm not speaking this church here, I'm speaking through my Christian walk, that a lot of brethren are lacking discernment. All right? Lacking discernment. And what I mean by that is they seem to, some brethren seem to be oblivious to things that are going on around them. Now, whether that's a lack of salvation or not, I don't know, and I'm not going to be the judge of that. But one thing I do realize is that there's a lack of discernment, especially in times when the Lord's moving or doing something in the service, and then distractions occur. Okay? Now, I speak as a fool, but I've been doing a little while here preaching in all kinds of different environments. But I realize even in the juvenile center, you start preaching in a prison, you start preaching in a juvenile center, and all of a sudden you're going to have a kid start howling and screaming. That's not a coincidence. Okay, you're preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, all of a sudden the lights go out. Or all of a sudden somebody comes through the door, or all of a sudden a fight breaks out, or all of a sudden somebody does something and it's at a key point to where God might be doing something with somebody in their life and a distraction occurs. A kid gets up and goes to the bathroom, an individual gets up. And brethren, listen, I am being dead serious. I'm not being mean this morning. But we big boys and big girls in here. And there's time where things are going serious and God might be dealing with souls or something might be heavy going on. And if it can wait till the end of service, it needs to wait till the end of the service. And I'm not being a dictator. I'm being a shepherd. And the longer I'm doing this now, and it ain't been very long, the more and more I'm realizing I'm having to be more and more of a shepherd to protect God's sheep.
That's right.
There's stuff going on right now that my brain, unless God clears it, I'm thinking of something totally different right now that I need to take care of for this church. The devil, listen, wherever there's truth, wherever the true light of God's word is going to be, there's going to be bugs. You put up a light at night in the middle of darkness, and what is going to flock to that light? Bugs. And that's exactly what happens in true biblical Bible-believing churches. You start preaching the truth of God's word. You start trying to deal with things that are contained in scriptures, and it's going to draw, for lack of better words, crazy people out. And I've seen it through years of working down there at King James Bible Baptist Church. There always seemed to be the individuals in the church, and they would come and go. It was like seasons, but you have these people coming in and they would just cause problems. And as I believe, because truth was being preached and proclaimed. Now, I don't know how it was for Pastor Gary, but I've known from what little I've seen in good Bible-believing churches, they've always had individuals in there, and they would come and go that would cause issues in the church. And a lot of the issues that were caused was because they would disturb the services at just the right moment. You don't realize how sensitive it is when the Holy Spirit's moving and what little it takes to grieve Him. The Bible says here in Acts chapter 20, verse number 28 and 29, Paul says, listen, brethren, whether you believe it or not, and I believe everybody here believes it, but God has set up overseers over His churches. Brethren, I believe as a pastor, I'm supposed to be a spiritual guard for the church. Now, I know Jesus Christ is the head. I get that. But I looked at my pastor back home as he had a responsibility to watch over that flock that God had made them the overseer of. If God, listen, brethren, I'm going to tell you this morning. And if God did not make me the overseer here, you need to get rid of me. And I'm not playing games. I'm dead serious. If in your hearts, especially the men, if you do not believe that I am supposed to be here because God's told you I'm supposed to be here, then please let me know and I need to move on. But if God, if you believe in your heart that God has me here, there's a purpose for it. And again, those of you know me, I am not lifting myself up. But these are serious matters. These are serious times we're living in. The devil's walking about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And that's just not a pretty verse to put on a pillowcase. I realize as a shepherd now that I'm going to have to deal with wolves. That wolves will creep in and they won't spare the flock of God. They'll destroy the flock of God. Why? Because they're not a sheep, they're a wolf. Grievous, the word grievous means provoking, offensive, tending to irritate. Do you see that? Bible says here in Acts chapter 20, verse 29, for I know this, Paul says, look at verse 29, for I know this, he says, that after my departing shall grievous wolves, wolves that are provoking, wolves that are offensive, wolves that tend to irritate, wolves that are hurtful, destructive, wolves that cause mischief, and they'll do it when the pastor's not around. I won't tell the pastor, but I'll go tell someone else. Paul says here, for I noticed that after my departing, shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. You see, true believers need to be consistently. There's no rest, brethren, there is no rest to the flock of God. There is no rest to a true believer. A true believer needs to consistently be vigilant over wolves among the true flock. There is no time to rest. There is no time to take a break. There is no time to take off the armor of God. We need to have the armor of God daily, consistently, 365 days a year, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. We have to be consistently vigilant among wolves. You see, animals, I'm going to look at a study this morning on wolves. Those animals that are out there today in Canada, where wolves roam, there is no break for those animals to say, you know what, today I'm just going to take off because I just don't think the wolf's going to get me today. When in reality, that might be the exact day the wolf's going to get them. You see, what a wolf lacks in size and power and weapons, it makes up with collaboration and intelligence. You see, wolves work together in packs. Now, there's some instances out here in this real world to where there is a lone wolf, but in reality, most of the time, you find wolves going together in packs. You see, wolves need to work together to collaborate and to spread intelligence on how to catch something out of the flock. Believers, again, need to be wary of individuals who try to gather intelligence or information on other believers with the purpose of tearing them down. Brethren, I'm not playing games this morning. I'm not playing games. You want to talk about quenching the Spirit of God? You want to talk about quenching the Spirit of God if one harbors bitterness in one's heart toward another brother or sister in the Lord? Take your Bible, look over at 1 Samuel chapter 21 and verse number 1. 1 Samuel chapter 21. Here's a little weasel in the Bible, or wolf, should we say, this morning for what we're looking at. 1 Samuel chapter 21, and look at verse number 1. 1 Samuel chapter 21, verse number 1. Look what the Bible says here. 1 Samuel chapter 21, verse number 1. Then came David to Nob, to Ahimelech the priest. And Ahimelech was afraid at the meeting of David, and said unto him, "Why art thou alone, and no man with thee?" And David said unto Ahimelech the priest, "The king hath commanded me a business, and said unto me, Let no man know anything of the business whereabout I send thee, and what I have commanded thee, and I have appointed my servant to such and such a place. Now therefore, what is under thine hand, give it me. Give me 5 loaves of bread in mine hand, or what there is present." And the priest answered David and said, "There is no common bread under my hand, but there is hallowed bread, if the young men have kept themselves at least from women." And David answered the priest and said unto him, "Of a truth, women have been kept from us about these 3 days since I came out, and the vessels of the young men are holy, and the bread is in a manner common, yea, though it were sanctified this day in the vessel." So the priest gave him hallowed bread, for there was no bread there but the show bread that was taken from before the Lord, to put hot bread in a day when it was taken away. Now a certain man of the servants of Saul was there that day, detained before the Lord, and his name was Doeg, an Edomite, the chiefest of the herdmen that belong to Saul. Look over at verse chapter 22, verse number 7. Chapter 22, verse 7. So David goes and inquires of the priest because he's on the run from Saul. He comes to Ahimelech, who is the priest. He asked him if there was anything there for him to eat. And we're not going to get into that this morning, but he gave him of the sanctified bread, the holy bread that he offered unto the Lord. And it had already been used, and God allowed him to give it to David. But when he gave it to David, there was a certain man, one of Saul's servants, that was there listening as David was communing and talking to Ahimelech. And his name was Doeg. And the Bible says in 2 Samuel or 1 Samuel chapter 22, verse 6, the next chapter over, when Saul heard that David was discovered and the men that were with him, now Saul abode in Gibeah under a tree in Ramah, having his spear in his hand, and all the servants were standing about him. Then Saul stood unto his servants that stood by him, about him, "Hear now, ye Benjamites, will the son of Jesse give every one of you fields and vineyards, and make you all captains of thousands and captains of hundreds, that all of you have conspired against me, and there's not none that showeth me that my son hath made a league with the son of Jesse, and there is none of you that is sorry for me?" You see, Saul here is throwing a little pity party, saying, "Is there not one of you that feels sorry for the case that I'm in, and how David is trying to take over this kingdom, when in reality David was doing opposite of that?" David, Saul didn't realize how good of a son-in-law he had. David was afraid. David was scared to death. And David had ample opportunities to lay his hands upon God's anointed. And he said, "I will not do so, because that is not my responsibility. That's not what God sent me to do. That's God's business. God will take care of Saul, because God anointed Saul to be king over Israel." David's like, "I am not touching the Lord's anointed." David was a wonderful man that loved God, and David understood authority, whereas Saul here is throwing a pity party, saying, "Is there none that is sorry for me and the case that I'm in?" Well, there's one that was sorry for him. Look over at the same chapter, look at verse number 20. Same chapter, verse 20. And one of the sons of Ahimelech, the son of Ahitub, named Abiathar, escaped and fled after David. And Abiathar showed David that Saul had slain the Lord's priest. And David said unto Abiathar, I knew it that day, when Doeg the Edomite was there, that he would surely tell Saul, I have occasioned the death of all the persons of thy father's house. Abide thou with me, fear not, for he that seeketh my life seeketh thy life, but with me thou shalt be in safeguard. You see, Doeg, when Saul asked this question, is there any that feels sorry for me, or does anybody know where David's at? And Doeg kind of lifts up his hand there in verse number 9 and says, well, I know where David's at, and I know what he's done. He tells Saul about David. Wolves will collaborate and try to get others on board with their rebellious attitudes and spirits. You see, I'm afraid today and fearful that many Christians today do not even realize that they have a spirit of Absalom. Take your Bible, look at 2 Samuel chapter number 15. 2 Samuel chapter number 15. 2 Samuel 15 verse number 3. Absalom was a very, very handsome man. It says in chapter 14 that he had so much hair he didn't know what to do with it. Absalom was a beautiful, handsome man that God had created. But he's also a very prideful man. 2 Samuel chapter 15, verse 3, and Absalom said unto him, see thy matters. See, what had happened is Joab, again, not knowing what he's doing, trying to tell the king what he ought to do, and David yielded to him, brought Absalom back in. And you also see a little situation here with David because he didn't deal with this thing like he should have dealt with it at the very beginning, and now it's coming back to get him. You see, when you don't deal with sin in your life and you don't deal with situations in your life that God's trying to get you to deal with and you let it fester and you let it grow, eventually it's going to come back and it's going to get you. And now David is confronted with this situation. Absalom's been brought back into the city. David says, I'm not going to go see his face. And now Absalom is playing a game. In verse number 3, and Absalom said unto him, see, thy matters are good and right, but there is no man deputy of the king to hear thee. You see, Absalom set himself up there in a gate, and when individuals came in that needed to see the king about a matter, Absalom cut them off before they got to the king, and they said, oh, look, well, look, I'm here to help you. See, these your matters are good and right. Yes, you're right in what you say. Yes, yes. You see, that's a way of a wolf. Oh, I hear you on that. Yep, yep, I see the same thing. He's trying to do that. He's trying to do that. Yep, I see the same thing. Push each other up. Burst each other up. Absalom's sitting there in the gate. Let me hear what you got to say. Oh, yeah, you're right. That's a good matter. You're right in that situation. If only the king had someone deputed to hear your matters. Poor David. David's just a bad king. If David only knew what he was doing, he'd have someone to hear how good and right you are. Verse number 4, Absalom said, moreover, oh, that I were made judge in the land, that every man which hath any suit or cause might come unto me, and I would do him justice. David can't do you justice. If only I were to judge, if only I were the one in authority, then I could help you out with these serious matters that you're having. Do you see the heart of Absalom, how he slyly, cunningly, like a wolf waiting in the woods, cutting down God-ordained authority? And how he, the Bible says here, he steals the hearts of the men of Israel. Verse number 5, and it was so that when any man came nigh to him to do him obeisance, he put forth his hand and he took him and he kissed him. And on this matter did Absalom to all Israel that came to the king for judgment. Look what it says. So Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel. Verse 10. And Absalom sent spies throughout all the tribes of Israel, saying, as soon as ye hear the sound of the trumpet, then you shall say, Absalom reigneth in Hebron. And with Absalom went 200 men out of Jerusalem that were called, and they went in their simplicity, and they knew not anything. These men had no clue what was going on. Verse number 12, and Absalom sent for Ahithophel, the Gileonite, David's counselor from his city, even from Gilo, where he offered sacrifices. And look at this, and the conspiracy was strong, for the people increased continually with Absalom. You see, that is the way of a wolf. A wolf works best in a pack, and a wolf has great patience. A wolf, a pack of wolves have great patience. patience before they go in to make the kill. You see, wolves are opportunists. They test their prey, sensing any weakness or vulnerability through visual cues, even through hearing and scent. You see, a wolf will stay back and a wolf will observe. From what I've studied, a wolf will observe for days, if not weeks. I read about wolves and their packs that they'll go hungry. They will go hungry to wait for the perfect opportunity to pounce against their prey. Contrary to ambush predators that rely on the element of surprise and short and intense bursts of energy to secure their prey, wolves are endurance animals and carousing predators. You see, wolves, like I just said, will go for days. They have endurance. And they try to corral their prey into the right environment to attack them. Be careful of those who try to catch you in your words or wear you out physically, spiritually, emotionally, and mentally. Watch for those who drain or steal your attention from away what really matters for the Lord. Some will claim to be doing the Lord's work, but in reality, they are rebellious and seeking to underhandedly tear down and destroy those that are truly about the Lord's work. Brethren, I'm as serious, and I say it all the time, a broken record on it. These things do occur. The underhandedness, and I've seen it in times past in other churches, individuals crept in unawares and try to pull down and destroy what God's trying to do, and in their mind, what they're doing is spiritual. Yet it's not. And I'll give you an example of it from the Bible. Individuals that said that they were doing the Lord's work when in reality had an ulterior motive. Look at Ezra. The book of Ezra, chapter 4, and verse number 1. Here the children of Israel have gone back to Jerusalem. They're trying to rebuild the wall, as you read about in the book of Nehemiah. And they're also trying to rebuild the temple. But look at the book of Ezra, chapter number 4, and look at verse number 1. Now, for sake of time this evening, these individuals that we're going to read about, you can read about them in 2 Kings chapter 17, verses 1 through 41. You see, these individuals, you have a mixed multitude in the kingdom of Samaria or Israel, because when Israel was taken captive, the king of Syria sent a mixed multitude of individuals back to Samaria to live there. But the problem is when the king sent these different countries and nations to inhabit Samaria, God sent lions in and they were destroying the people because the word of the Lord says they didn't understand the God of the land. So if you read 1 Kings or 2 Kings chapter 17, you'll get the story there that they served their false gods, yet the king of Assyria found a man, a priest that knew the way of the land, sent him in among the others there in Samaria to teach them how to properly dwell in the land that God had claimed. Yet they didn't follow God completely. They still served their false gods, yet they still, in a way, gave proper honor to the true God. They weren't sold out for the Lord. They were just doing what they had to do to continue to live. But now that the children of Israel are coming back into the land, they're trying to rebuild the wall. They're trying to do right by God right now. They're trying not to be taken captive again because of the sins. They're trying to rebuild the temple. Look at Ezra chapter 4, verse 1. Now when the adversaries of Judah and Benjamin heard that the children of the captivity builded the temple unto the Lord God of Israel, then they came to Zerubbabel and to the chief of the fathers and said unto them, let us build with you. For we seek your God as ye do, and we do sacrifices unto him since the day of Esarhaddon, king of Asher, which brought us up hither. These men come in, they see the work that's starting to be done by the true children of God. They see the work that they're starting to do. They haven't done that work because they're not truly serving the true God.
They've been there for a while. They haven't laid a finger on rebuilding the wall. They haven't laid a finger on trying to rebuild the proper temple for God. Now, all of a sudden, when an individual or individuals come in that want to do the right thing for God, they want to reestablish the wall. They want to set up separation between them and the world. They want to reestablish the proper temple to worship God. Now, all of a sudden, the adversary comes in and says, "Can we help? We serve the same God you serve. We offer the same sacrifice as you offer. Come on, come on, God. We got a bunch of men over here. We've been here for a while. We can help you out. We can help you get this done quick." Look what it says next in verse 3. "But Zerubbabel and Jeshua and the rest of the chief of the fathers of Israel said unto them, 'Ye have nothing to do with us to build an house unto our God. But we ourselves together will build unto the Lord God of Israel, as King Cyrus, the king of Persia, hath commanded us.'" Zerubbabel and Jeshua, the leaders of that country, the leaders of those individuals coming back to dwell in the land, said, "Nope, you're not going to help us. We'll take care of it ourselves." "Oh, okay, we understand. All right, we just thought we'd offer that, you know, if you needed help, we were here for you. We'll be praying for you to try to get that built. And you know what? We'll keep an eye out, too, out here to make sure nobody messes with you, because we want to see the temple get built just like you do. And we know we can't help you because you don't want us to. And we'll stand watch, too, as you try to reestablish the wall. And if you need anything, just let us know." Look what the Bible says in verse 4. "Then the people of the land weakened the hands of the people of Judah and troubled them in the building and hired counselors against them to frustrate their purpose." And then they end up writing a letter of accusation back to the king, which stops the work for just a little bit. "Oh, I thought you're all about trying to rebuild the wall. I thought you're all about trying to help me reestablish serving God the correct and right way and setting up his temple. I thought you loved God like I love God." Not when you tell him you can't help me with it. Brethren, the true heart comes out. The true heart comes out when they're confronted with the light of what God said, and then they're shown for what they really are: adversaries. They have no desire to serve the true living God. They have no desire to reestablish the walls of separation. They have no desire to reestablish the proper temple and to worship God. They had their own motives, and when they were told they couldn't do it, all of a sudden you see what they are. They're a wolf in sheep's clothing. They all of a sudden their teeth come out, and they're shown for what they really are. Brethren, I've seen it before in my life, and even in some individuals that are close to me, when you start revealing some true things. Look, I had someone very dear close to me. My grandmother, to be exact, she's gone. Supposedly loved God, was in church all the time. She took me to church. And all of a sudden, God started showing me and Melanie some light. We tried to start doing right according to the Bible. And one day, my wife was trying to talk with my grandma about some scriptures. And my grandma took that Bible and threw it at my wife. A religious, godly woman who loves Jesus threw a Bible at my wife and says, "I know what I saw and I know what I felt. Take your Bible." Oh, boy. So now we see the true individual. You know, when God tries to correct me, this is where I struggle as a pastor, is when individuals don't ever get broken. When someone doesn't get broken, that's a concern. Because proper correction from a father to a son ought to bring brokenness. If you're raising children, I believe this today, you're supposed to spank your children. I believe there's Bible on that. But you just don't spank them to spank them. You spank them to break the will. If you only spank them and you never break the will, you're creating a monster. When the will is broken, you'll see it in that child, and I've seen it in all four of my children. There came a time when all four of them, we went through a marathon of spankings because it was their will against my will. And though it grieved me and I shed tears while I did it, I knew I had to do it because it was Bible. And you can see when a child has been properly broken, there's a different type of cry. There's a different type of tear that flows from the eyes when they get broken. And when you see that brokenness as a father, as a mother, you stop and then you give wisdom and love, and there's a connection there that can never occur any other way. And parents today are missing it. And I say that to say this, that when God deals with his sheep with correction, and he deals with them as with sons, there's a brokenness that occurs and a tear to our Father saying, God, I'm sorry for what I've been to you, Lord. Will you forgive me and help me to be a better son? It's not my teeth coming out and I want to rip your head off because you called me out on something. Do you see the two different types of attitudes when you get dealt with? One attitude will bite your head. Who are you to tell me what to do? You're a man just like I'm a man. I got God for my authority. You're a rebel. Brethren, I love you this morning. I love you. God help us this morning, because someday as your preacher, the more and more I'm on this planet, the more and more I'm here in Pennsylvania, the more and more I live over there in Allentown, the more and more I realize how closer we're getting to Christ's return. And as your pastor, God help me, Lord, I want to be the pastor that God wants me to be, so that you don't get home to heaven someday and say, I wish I'd have done different. I wish I would have had somebody to tell me. I wish I'd have had somebody whoop my tail and rebuke and reprove me to help me have a closer walk with Jesus Christ. I want a closer walk with the Lord. But when you desire a closer walk, sometimes the correction's got to come. But the correction is not fun. It's grievous sometimes, but it's needful. These people crept in. They tried to stop the work of the Lord. They acted as if they were Christians, so to speak. But in reality, when their buttons were pushed and their cloak was taken off, they were revealed for who they truly were, and they were a wolf in sheep's clothing. You see, most often the prey that the wolf selects is weaker and more vulnerable than the other animals in the herd. These animals tend to be injured, sick, old, very young, or genetically inferior to the others that are in the flock. You see, a wolf will prey on those that are weak. A wolf will prey on those that may be sick. A wolf may prey on those that may be burdened down with something. You see, a wolf will prey on believers who seldom come to church, or only when it is convenient. A wolf will prey on individuals who have been hurt by someone within the church, and they'll play upon that hurt. A wolf doesn't know, or will prey on individuals who don't know much doctrine. A wolf will prey on someone who has been recently been on or currently going through a troublesome time. A wolf will prey on those who stray from the light of God's word. A wolf will prey on those who have become complacent due to being saved for so long. So the question is, what do you do about a wolf? You know something about wolves? Is an experienced wolf is well aware that a hoofed animal will break through the crust and become bogged down in deep snow. You know, another thing about wolves is they're carousing. So what they'll do is they'll look for the weak, they'll look for the injured, and what they'll try to do is if there's deep snow, they'll try to get that one individual in the herd to take off into the snow, because they realize that if they get off and off of the path, the right path, and into the deeper areas to where they don't know, they'll get bogged down with it, and that's when the wolf will attack. Brethren, 66 books in this Bible. I'm doing hard. It's hard enough on me just to learn not to be bitter towards my wife. We need brethren who aren't so worried about getting the deep things of God and just applying the things that they already know. Brethren, I'm tired of hearing this from brethren I talk to. Oh, I just want the deep things. I just want the deep things. Hey, get out of my way. What are you doing? Cut me off. You're missing it. You're missing it. The deep things are not what some golden nugget that nobody else in the world and all believers of time past, present, and future hasn't seen in God's Word. And you're going to be the individual to find it and bring it forth to the because you're the only one that can bring it forth to the flock of God as some new nugget. How about just dealing with the simple nugget you got right here to know what to do with? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, temperance, graciousness, mercy. Stop being strife. Stop causing strife. Stop causing envy. Be thankful. Be holy. Brethren, there's enough right there to keep you busy the rest of your life. I'm serious on that. Before we start going after the deep things of God, let us make sure that our attitude is in the perfect place it needs to be. Every moment of our life. You see, a wolf will go after those in deep areas. And they get bogged down in snow. You know what a wolf will often do? And I thought this was ingenious. A wolf knows how to work in certain environments. When it's summertime or during a drought, wolves will work for days to get a herd to cross maybe a pond or a lake that's kind of dried up. And they'll get them to cross this area to where they know the water has been dried up and stones now appear in the ground. Because they know if they can corral them and get them into that area, some of them might trip on those rocks that's now appear because the water's been gone. That's a smart animal. To know I can push my prey into this area that may cause them to stumble. The Bible says this in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 through 5. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangled himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. You see, a lot of Christians today are stumbling and falling all over things that are entangling them because they're following things in this life. And it's entangling them. It's causing them to get tripped up, which makes them an easier target for the enemy. Brethren, let's look at James 1 real quick, verse 13. James 1, verse 13. James chapter 1 and verse 13. James chapter 1 and verse 13, we'll close right here. James chapter 1 and verse number 13. Look what the Bible says here, James 1, 13. Book of James chapter 1 and verse number 13. The Bible says here, Bible says this, it says, James 1, 13, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that, well, yes, thank you, brother. I was in Hebrews. That's why it wasn't looking like it should be. James 1:13, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. You see, be careful of the situations that the enemy may be carousing you into, to where he doesn't necessarily take you down. It's you yourself that takes you down, because the Bible says, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Be careful of situations. Be careful of individuals who are moving you or are pushing you into situations that may cause you to stumble. For that is the way of a wolf. I'm going to finish up these last couple of points this evening because it goes hand in hand and kind of what we're going to look at this evening in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. But we need to be aware of wolves. We need to be consistently vigilant. We need to have discernment and ask God to give us discernment, ask God to give us guidance, ask God to have our eyes open and our ears open to what is going on around us. That we may not stumble in our Christian walk, that we might not cause others to stumble in their Christian walk and make ourselves or others the easy prey of the enemy, because he is a lion. I know I'm talking about wolves this morning, but he is a lion who is consistently walking around seeking whom he may devour. Someday, we're going home. Someday, we're going home. Someday, we're going home. Someday, we're going to meet Jesus. Someday, according to Scripture, we're going to have to stand before him at that judgment seat, the judgment seat of Christ. Someday, we're going to have to give an account for the talents that the Lord has given us. We're going to have to give an account of the life that he's given us. And there's going to be a reckoning day. And my prayer this morning is that when that reckoning day comes, there may be the majority of it be gold, silver, and precious stones, and not wood, hay, and stubble. That God would help us to be vigilant of those wolves that may seek, those grievous wolves that may seek to come in and devour the flock which is among us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity this morning. Dear God, I pray for your help, Lord. God, I pray for your help, Lord. Lord Jesus, you know, Lord, you know what's on my heart, dear God, and I pray you'd help. Lord, help us to be vigilant. Dear God, help us to watch our attitudes. Dear Lord God, help us to watch our attitudes. Lord, help us. Help myself, Lord. Help us, dear God, to watch what comes out of our mouths, dear God. Lord, that we wouldn't quench you, Lord. God, Lord, help us as sheep, Lord, to put forth fleece that will honor you. Lord, that you can use, dear God. Help us to be about your business, Lord. Help us to grow. Lord, deal with us where we need to be dealt with, dear God, because you love us. And Lord, help us to be better Christians. Lord, help us to be that light and testimony. Again, Lord, in this crooked and perverse nation that we're living in, help us to be people of your word. And Lord, to walk with you. We love you, dear Lord Jesus. Thank you for dying on that cross for our sins. Thank you for making that payment. And Lord, help us, dear God, not get entangled with the affairs of this life, dear God. Help us not to get entangled. And Lord, we just pray all these things now in the precious name of our Savior and your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray these things now in his name. Amen. Let's sing page 424 in the hymn book, page number 424.
prayer, brother? Dear Heavenly Father, we pray and thank you for the service and that we all can make it this day. Pray that you'd be with all of us in this hour and of all our needs that we each have. We just bless your name. Just can't thank you enough that you would send your son to this earth to die for us.
Yes.
And then even that he allowed man to touch his body with us. To do all the things that would come upon our Lord. So unimaginable. And we surely pray and hope we never forget this in our hearts so that we all might walk as we ought to. Yeah. And we bless your name. And we hope you will help us get here tonight. Just watch over each and every one of us as we walk in the same way in our hearts to him as we have our hearts in here as we will outside. Jesus' most precious name, we thank you. Amen. Amen. Amen.